time of the evening when we get a special treat of hearing someone share their thoughts. And the even more special treat, it's not me. Well, we also love our speaker tonight, affectionately known as Dave with the Boat, or Captain Dave. Dave has done a lot of God work with that boat, and he needs a lot of God work done on that boat, I think. But Dave is a very deep thinker of really meaningful spiritual thoughts, and he's going to share some of them with us tonight. Please help me welcome our Dave Hamill.
Thank you, Lindy, and thank all of you for that wonderful welcome. You know, before I get up here, it's always a little nervous, but when you get up here and I see all of you, it becomes a lot easier. So I ask God to direct me and fill my mouth with words that be of the highest good for all concerned. I'm working tonight with some props for the first time, so we'll be interested to see how this works out. And I thought the last song we sang was perfect because I was asking for some prayers, so that was good. So tonight, before I start, I always like to start off and say that what I have to say tonight is not true, because these are my truths. They're not necessarily your truths. But if some of my truths can be a signpost for you to your truths that help you know that you know, then perfect. But as Millie says, let's run it through our God self. So the story with the shoes is that I had this epiphany about from shoelaces. And I'm going to get to that a little bit later as we go through, but I just thought from my talk you could just sort of stare at the shoes and just wonder what's going to happen with them. So, and I like to share with people something to chew on when you go home and through your week, or however long you want to chew on, or you may just spit it out and go, forget that. But in my reading, I came across someone who was talking about the crucifixion of Jesus, and that while he was on the cross, his mortal mind was running through Psalms 20, 21, and 22 while he was on the cross, just as we often do things to take our mind off of pain or something, that his mortal side was doing this. And that only a couple times were people close enough to hear him, or perhaps that his voice rose loud enough for someone to hear him. And so I looked up Psalm 22, and the first line in Psalm 22 is, O God, why hast thou forsaken me? And if that might be true, it puts a whole different spin on what I thought was his mortal shortcomings, you know, at that point that he would question God. So perhaps maybe that wasn't what he was doing. So take that however you like it this week as we go forward. So in my epiphany about shoelaces, I came across this great little video about a guy who is in his 50s, and he said, you know, I'm 50 years old, and one thing I really thought I had nailed was tying my shoelaces. Wrong. And I went through this, and I looked at it, and I was tying my shoelaces wrong. Or perhaps you could say weakly, because there's a weak knot and a strong knot. And so since then, I shared this with, where's Michelle? Oh, yep, and I shared it with Fred and Terry. Fred being your dad being my acid test, because he came back 2 weeks later or a week later and said, it works. So that was kind of fun. So I started looking at this, and I realized, you know, I've been doing this for more than 50 years, the wrong way, quote, the wrong way. And it really started me looking at so many other things, and I said, well, what else have I accepted as gospel in my life that isn't serving me or maybe isn't the right thing? And so I really started looking and being more present to what it is I believe. And it's been really kind of fun because it's kept me present right now. And for those of you who've read books like The Power of Now, they're talking about being right here, right now, while life happens. Well, that's not so easy as it sounds, because we have so much going on in our little brains, and our left brain, which has really been our survival side since we were little children, dominates our thinking. And it's over chatters all the time. I'm in charge, I'm in charge, you're not getting rid of me, I'm in charge, over and over, and other, you know, completely deep and profound thoughts. And so what happens is that is running our lives. We're talking, talking, yakking, yakking, yakking. And I took a course through Landmark Education, and when they started the course, one of the first things they do is they talk about already always listening. And already always listening is what we all do. It's how we come to life, how we're prepared, how we hear what's being said or interpret what's being said. And because of our filters that we've created through all of our life experience, we have this mask of these filters that we kind of wear on our face, and we look at everything. So if you're out dating, every man or every woman you've ever dated is added to your mask. And so you're seeing them going, oh, I remember this routine. Yeah, she did this last time, and I remember what happened. And it colors and it affects us. And so many times in relationships that women are used, they have their own filters. They know exactly what they have to say and what they mean. Men, on the other hand, know exactly what they mean and what they're thinking and what they said. But when we run it through the opposite sex filter, they don't hear us and we don't hear them. And there's so this misunderstanding that's just part of the territory, but none of us ever sits and goes, oh, I wonder, you know, if I could look at this a little differently through her shoes or his eyes or how that works. And so it's something that we have to be reminded of how we look at everything that happens every day in our life. Every moment that something's coming through, we're running it through some kind of filter. So just like the shoelaces, I went, wow, I wonder if this filter is really serving me, or is it valid, or is it just more story that perhaps I picked up in childhood? Somebody told me, my mom, my dad, maybe some teacher who just wanted to control me or wanted me to shut up, and believe me, there were a lot of them. I'd be Melinda Dixon's, you know, worst nightmare if I was in her class. So this little thing with the shoelaces was just amazing, and I found it so powerful because it took me out of all my filters and it let me look at things anew. The Buddhists believe or talk about beginner's mind. It's very powerful. Einstein used it to develop theory of relativity, to do a lot of his thinking, where you get rid of all your preconceived notions of things and you get into that beginner's state, which has tremendous access. One of the benefits that we don't really associate with it very often, but we all know about, is beginner's luck. Beginner's luck happens because we're in the beginner's mind state. Somebody walks up to hit a golf ball and whacks it down there 250 yards, which is a long way, straight down the middle the first time they swing at the ball, and then it may be months or years before they can duplicate that effort. But that first time, because of the pureness, they weren't thinking, they just stood up there, boom, away it went. So I was approaching the shoelace thing with beginner's mind. And then as I was learning to do it, I moved into learner's mind. Suzuki, who's a great Buddhist teacher, said, when there's nothing to achieve, then we can really learn. And it's real interesting because when we're looking at achieving the things and that we're going to get something out of it and what's this going to, you know, do for me, and then we tie this perfect knot and then it's like, I did it. And you're right out of learner's mind. You're right out of beginner's mind. And it's one of those funny things. It's like grasping the mercury, which we used to do back in my day before we knew it was poisonous and bad for us. So that's why a lot of us younger people wonder, it's because of the mercury we touched as kids, the way we're warped, the way we are. So, but it's that just being passive and accepting and engulfing this whole thing. And in a country that's so passive-aggressive, I'm surprised we don't do better with this, but apparently we don't. So as I move forward and looked at this epiphany and how it's affected my life, I realized that what I was told, Millie's class has just ended. And the last week or so of class, Millie and some of the other people that know me very well told me that I've changed a tremendous amount. And while it's easy for me to look at my other classmates and see the change that's happened with them, it's hard to see it in yourself when you live with you. And so I took that with appreciation and said, well, what has changed for me? And what's really changed for me is being more present in my life, more in beginner's mind, more in learner's mind, so that I can be accepting and looking at things without all my filters, because my filters brought me down this certain path that got me to this point. And for you, those of you who don't know me very well, I've had a couple of very tumultuous years. And oftentimes the universe will give us a kind of little tap on the shoulder going, hey, guess what? You might want to rethink this. Didn't happen for me that way. I got a 2x4 upside my head about 3 times, kind of going like, hey, dummy, wake up. And in looking back now, I see the beauty of all those things that were so hard to go through right then. And it's true that growth, more growth comes through difficult times than it is through easy times. Having my heart wrenched brought me more learning, more knowledge, and more peace for myself than any of this other stuff that I went through. So I see that those filters weren't really serving me anymore. Millie talks, you know, about running it through our God self. And I realized that what I thought was my God self was this left brain ego of mine that goes, you know, on and on and on and on. You know, you're not getting rid of me. I'm in charge. I'm in charge. Not going anyplace. Going to be here tomorrow, the next day, the day after that, so on and so forth. And it's just craziness. And through this time and this period of being able to be more present and listening to that and realizing that that's just this other side of my brain that wants to keep me crazy, I've started to make changes and make choices that are going to keep that voice from coming forward and being so prevalent. And now I realize that running it through my God self has to do with this deep connection that we all look for and want to have, and that at times in Millie's classes we really get to achieve, and that we get to achieve with one another when we express love. And it's been amazing to stop and see that and be that. You know, people come up all the time and we ask each other, hey, how are you doing? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we stopped and said, hey, how are you being? Who are you being? How are you being? What are you being? Oh, I'm being love. Oh, I could tell. I could feel it. Oh, I'm being joy. Yes, doing a great job. Thank you. Because doing this is not have anything really important when we really get down to what's important to us. There was a quote I read that said, you know, how do you define success? And the healthiest one that I found in that whole thing was I measure success if I have joy in my life. Because without joy, what do you really have? You can have all the money, you could have the, you know, perfect husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. But without joy, it's not the experience you thought it was going to be. And you add joy to anything, and now life transforms. And I really think we're all here. We wouldn't be in this church. We wouldn't be here in this space if we weren't all here to transform our lives. And we do that when we come together in love, when we come together and work with spirit, our life transforms. You know, I know most of you out there, and I think all of you that I know I've had these life transformational experiences. And through coming here, through being in community, and being in relationship. Because relationship tests us as nothing else does. And the beauty and the amazing part of being in relationship is that when we start with ourselves and are in relationship with ourselves, the outside relationships all change just as beautifully. And I learned that until I can love myself enough, no one's going to fill up that hole that was missing inside of me. But when I love myself, and truly without ego, and just love myself, then it flows out of me, and my life again is transformed. It's a different experience. This left brain yaya over here is quiet. You know, meditation's wonderful for helping you quiet that, but you can't sit in meditation and tell yourself to be quiet. It's like saying, don't blink, or don't think. And that's not the purpose of meditation, is not to quiet your mind. The purpose of meditation is to train your mind and to focus. And if you can train your mind and focus, the result is a quiet mind. But you can't go seek it. It just comes. So that's my little story for tonight. And it's just amazing because when I look back now, and we should all give ourselves be appreciative of where we've come from, to stop and every so often look backwards and see where it is that you've come from, because no one else really knows your path, knows your journey, and if we aren't appreciating ourselves, the other people who appreciate us don't really get us on that level. So appreciate yourself. Pat yourself on the back for all you've been through, because we've all been through tremendous amounts. There's no way you go through the school of life without going through major changes, upsets. You know, someone said no one escapes childhood unscathed. And as we move forward as an adult, I know for myself I had to fill that hole that was there from childhood with me, because I believed stories, I interpreted things wrongly and thought they were truth, and they weren't. They're not about who I am. And I know now who I am. And it's a guy who can tie his shoes. So here's the difference. See any difference in the shoes, shoelaces? Anybody? Go ahead, Kimberly. Okay, why? What's the difference? Right. Okay, so this one is going sort of north and south, and the bow on this one's going east and west. And she's right, this is the weak knot, the way you try. And I noticed, and now I'm looking at everybody's shoelaces. I realize that at a certain age group, they don't even bother tying them. Maybe they have it right. I don't know. And I notice a lot, because of the hot weather, we've gone to flip-flops. Some of you must have known I was going to do this, and you don't want to be embarrassed because you tied your shoelaces the wrong way. And George tonight knew I was going to do this. He's got pumps on. So the way George, what you did was, you were my buddy, my best friend, so it's part of the deal. So how you test to see whether you've got a weak knot or not is to pull on the strings, and they'll line up north and south if it's weak, and if they're strong, they'll stay across. And you notice that the bows on the strong knot are beautiful. And what's fun now is I look forward to tying my shoes every day. And it's the simplest little thing, but guess what? It takes me right out of that left brain, puts me in my heart space, and it's just fun. And the other thing that I really enjoy is that I appreciate this knot.
Why not?
There you go. Lindy mentioned, I have a boat, so I tie knots. And my favorite knot's a bow one, but this is my second. It's coming close, because it's a simple little knot, and it does its job perfectly when it's tied right. When you don't, I used to double tie my shoes. You know, I tie the lace, and I take the bows, you know, and do this thing and tie them, because I got sick and tired. So what a complete waste of time. What could be worse than spending half your day retying your shoes all the time? Well, it's because I was tying them a weak way. So for all of you double tires, you're probably tying them the weak way, or the wrong way. So to get the suspense over with now, you've been very, very patient. So the first part's the same, you know, where you just take it and you just do this. Okay, everything's good. The wrong way is to take the second string and go forward and go through. Weak knot. If you take it and start and go under and over, come back towards yourself, that's the strong way. I practiced that for hours to make sure I could get it right up here.
What do you do for an encore?
I untie them. So that's all there is to it, and it's this simple little thing, and it's this simple little thing that most of us have been doing wrong the great majority of our lives. And for those of you who this has helped and you were tying your shoes the wrong way, please let me know so that at some point I can say, I taught him how to tie his shoes. Thank you.